Good morning, church. Let's see if I can get this to work here. Good to see everybody out this morning. Everyone out this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing to be with us here at Johnson this morning. And if you are visiting, if you look at the bulletin, I am not Larry Colbreath. Not as good looking as Larry, I guess. But he and Pat are traveling in Tennessee. And a few months ago, he asked me if I'd be willing to speak to you on today, 2 December. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing next week. But sure, I'll preach on the 2nd of December. Last time he asked me to preach was on Sunday evening on Super Bowl Sunday. So that was a little challenging to compete against the Super Bowl. But I'm glad I have this opportunity to speak to you this morning. So this lesson, this sermon this morning, is going to be a little atypical. It's going to be a little different. I love science. I like science. Okay, so I'm going to be looking a little bit at science and try to have a better appreciation for who God is. Okay, so I've got quite a few slides to go through, but we're going to go through rather quickly. And just give you an idea, you've probably seen this image before in the news when it first came out. I believe it was in 2003. This is a Helix Nebula out in deep space. This image was captured by the Hubble Space Telescope. And just due to the fact what it looks like, they actually called it the Eye of God. Okay, so just give you an idea of kind of where we're going to be heading throughout this lesson this morning. I want us to kind of look at God. And as we just sang, and thank you, Charles, for leading, how great thou art. Indeed, how great is our God. And sometimes we take things for granted throughout our lives. Sometimes we take things for granted that God has blessed us with. And so we're going to take a little step back from a different perspective, look at everything around us, even within our inner being, and try to have a better appreciation for who God is. Especially easy in our country, the United States, to take a lot of things for granted. Our health. This past year for me has been pretty challenging from a health standpoint. So I definitely have a greater appreciation for when I do have good health. And I know a lot of you have challenges when it comes to health as well. But still, God blesses us in so many different ways. Another thing that is hard to understand and to retake for granted is just the awesomeness of our God. An all-powerful, an all-knowing, an eternal God. The Bible and the writers and Scripture try to describe God to us in human terms. But it's still very hard for us to wrap our heads around really what God represents. So today, hopefully you have a better appreciation, maybe something that hopefully puts things a little better perspective for you and really appreciate the awesomeness of God. But also maybe help you share what you know about God to those you come in contact with. There's a little bit of small print. Usually I try not to go this small, but I try to fit all this on here. These are some characteristics of God that we can find throughout the Bible. I'm not going to go through all the verses here. You can, if you don't have time to write them down, I can get those to you later. But these are some of the things. This is not an exhaustive list of what we can use to try to describe how and what God is. But today, hopefully, at the end of this lesson, the ones that I'm highlighting here in green, those are the ones hopefully you will have a better understanding and better appreciation. God is infinite. We really don't have a grasp on what infinite is. An eternal being that's always been there, that will always be there. We just can't understand that. We try to. Omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Unlimited power. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, at all times. God is loving. He loves us. And that's how I'll kind of wrap this lesson up, talking a little more about that and how he can do that, one way he does that. And God is glorious. If you look up the definition of glorious, it's just an awesome beauty. Okay, God is infinitely beautiful in a lot of different ways. So hopefully you'll have a better understanding as we go through this lesson. So the first verse, and all the verses I'm going to read are going to be from the New American Standard. So the first verse is in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you, God, formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb, and I will give thanks to you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully, wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. God has created every one of us in this room. He has created everyone in the world. And this is one thing I think that we take for granted. I think there's few events in our lives maybe where we focus more on what God has done as far as the human being. Today I'm going to focus on two aspects. And we could spend, you know, years of study to talk about the human being and how God masterfully created each one of us. But I'm going to focus on two aspects. The first one, I'm going to talk about memory capacity. Okay? Just to give you an insight, I'm going to use the flip side and look, okay, what has the humankind done in this arena? So if you look at the history of computers and memory, look at hard drives, here's are a few examples how technology has, quote-unquote, evolved over time. Starting in the early 1900s, started with a basic magnetic tape, went through different iterations, hard disks, some of these some of you probably remember. Some of you here on the front rows probably don't remember ever seeing those hard disk zip drives. The music tape, floppy disks, the real big floppy disks. And now we're getting a lot smaller and smaller, SD cards, Blu-ray, and who knows what the next phase is going to be. But if you were going to look at, okay, what is the most high-tech, high-capacity memory storage that humankind has, quote-unquote, created today. In 2018, based off of what I looked up on the internet and I could find, so this is the most recent I could find, it is a 100 terabyte hard drive. Now, I'm just looking at for your home personal computer, okay? I'm not looking at big, you know, servers, obviously have a lot more capacity. This is just a regular hard drive that you, if you had the money, that you could purchase to put into your home computer. It is 100 terabyte storage capacity. Some of you probably never heard the word terabyte in your life before, okay? So I'll just give you a little prelude that as we go through this lesson today, I'm going to start throwing out numbers to you as we go through the different examples that are just going to start blowing your mind, okay? And this is where I want, hopefully, to have a better understanding of really what does eternity look like. And okay, so with these numbers, we're kind of start blowing you away here with numbers. 100 terabytes. What is 100 terabytes? Okay, 1 terabyte is 1,000 gigabyte. You're like, okay, well, I still really don't understand how big 1 gigabyte is. Well, 1 gigabyte is 1,000 megabytes. Okay, just starting to bring it down to something maybe we can understand. If you take your cell phone out, put the highest resolution, take a picture, you know, you're probably looking at a 2 megabyte, 3 megabyte picture, maybe, okay? Okay, so try to give you a little perspective on what 100 terabytes, which is a lot of information, okay? If you want that hard drive, you're going to have to pony up $50,000, okay? This is the latest breaking, newest thing, highest capacity, so that guaranteed probably nobody in this room is going to go out and buy this hard drive, at least not this year. Maybe in a few years, but then it'll be passe, right? All right, so now we looked at what humans have been able to do. What did God do? You know, the few examples, you know, there's a sarcastic side to me, if you didn't know that, okay? I know God probably isn't sarcastic, but if I was a sarcastic God, I'd be looking at humans creating these hard drives, and I'd be like, huh, that's cute. Let's take a look at what I did, okay? Let's look at the human brain. 400 billion synapses, okay? What is a synapse? That is the site of transmission of electric nerve impulses between two nerve cells, neurons. You know, there's other synapses to go to your muscles. I'm just focusing on the ones that are inside the brain. Okay? 400 billion. Okay, now we're starting to even get bigger numbers. 400 billion. Okay? If you want to try to translate that, okay, we're still in the trillions, right, with our national debt. So, okay, maybe you have a better understanding of what billions are. 400 billion. Well, that's a lot. Okay? Well, I kind of lied to you because there's actually more than 400 billion synapses in the brain. That is what you find in 1 gram of brain tissue. Okay, that starts blowing me away when I found this out. Okay, so the next logical question, how many grams is the average adult human brain? Good question. 1,400 grams. Okay, so multiply 400 billion by 1,400, and that's how many synapses we have in the average brain. okay, now we're really starting to get numbers that I really cannot wrap my brain around, okay? All right, latest human guess on what they believe the human brain can store as far as memory capacity. Now, this is a guess, because to be honest, I don't think we'll ever know what the human brain is capable of. But the latest guess, and they'll probably keep revising this as we learn more and more about the human body, is 2.5 petabytes. Okay, thanks, Mark. That's another word that I've never heard before, don't understand. What is a petabyte? I'll get to that here in a little bit. But 2.5 petabytes is a lot of memory when you look from a digital standpoint. Okay, so to help you maybe understand that, if you were to set your DVR and hit record on a high-definition channel, you would have to let it record for 300 years nonstop to fill up a 2.5 petabyte hard drive. Once again, this started blowing my mind away, okay? What God has put in our heads here in the brain and the capacity that it has. 300 years of nonstop recording. And my phone starts filling up after taking 100 pictures. All right, so let's take a quick recap here from the memory side of things. Hard drive, 100 terabytes, which is the most we have right now for personal use. The brain, 2.5 petabytes. I promised you I'd tell you a little bit of what a petabyte is. 2.5 petabytes equals 2,500 terabytes. Okay, so I told you before that the hard drive was 100 terabytes. So in essence, our brain today, based on human guesses, can hold 25 times more memory than the best man-made hard drive in 2018. Like I said, this is based on human guesses. I guarantee our brain is capable of a lot more than that. But we'll go with what the human thinks. All right, so we talked a little bit about the human brain, which is an amazing organ in our bodies. Now we're going to look at another amazing organ in our bodies, the human eye. You know, definitely something I think we take for granted every day until you get something in your eye, and then it's just, you're like, oh my goodness, I want to get this out of my eye. Okay, it's another very capable organ that the Lord has blessed us with. The human eye, on average, only weighs an ounce, very light. There are 2 million, quote-unquote, working parts in each eye. That's a lot. And there are 1 million nerves that connect the eye to our brain to kind of make all the connections so that we can develop the image. Now I want to translate to human terms. Okay, well, what is the resolution of the pictures, if you will, of the human eye? It is estimated. It's kind of hard because our eyes translate to digital. It's not necessarily an easy translation. But the best guess is, if you want to translate, is 576 megapixels when you take a picture with your eye. Okay, that's pretty high resolution. Today's top-of-the-line camera is capable of 100 megapixels. But to get that camera, you're going to have to spend about $45,000 to purchase that camera. And it does have the capability to increase its resolution to 400 megapixels if it uses multiple images and does some fancy work and combine all that. Okay? But I guarantee you that camera weighs a lot more than 1 ounce. Okay? So it's really not a fair comparison. Once again, God has done an amazing thing with us when it comes to the human eye. All right, so I talked about the human body, which is fascinating. There's a lot of things about the body that are fascinating that God has blessed us with. Now I'll take another kind of pause, little tangent here. It's interesting, and the purpose of this lesson is not necessarily to get in to try to prove that there is a God, but obviously that's a logical progression with this lesson. That's a long study to go through that, but it's fascinating. I love that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people out there, and scientists and other people, that have a hard time believing in God, okay? But I think it's a little ironic that you look at all we talked about hard drives, we talk about cameras, and the list of technology goes on. Still, a lot of things don't even equate what God has been able to create. Yet, it takes a human to build those things. How in the world can you put in your head that things that are even so much better than mankind has ever been able to make just happened by chance? That you have to make a hard drive. You have to make a camera that can take pictures. Yet this body, you think, just happened without anybody creating. I think that's kind of a, you know, a little dichotomy there that I don't understand. Obviously, I do believe in God and in His capabilities. Anyway, that was a little tangent. So now we're going to transition and talk about the universe. Okay, if the numbers we talked about, terabytes, petabytes, started kind of being a little hard to understand, when you talk about the universe, this is going to even get a lot more complicated. Okay, and this will blow you away. Like I said, I love science. Most of you know that I'm in the Air Force, but some of you probably don't know what I've done in the Air Force. Before coming to ROTC and teaching cadets, I'm a space operator. I deal in the space business. And my job in space is basically to track every man-made object in space that's orbiting the Earth and make sure that we protect our military assets. And we also look at everybody else's satellite. We look at the satellites. We look at debris, make sure things aren't going to run into each other. A lot of different things that we do. And our philosophy in the military, when we look in space, same thing with NASA, space is big, okay? But especially when you look in Earth's orbit, it is congested. It is getting worse and worse. But it doesn't happen too often that things hit themselves, and we try to prevent those things from happening. But even having the business that I'm in, I still have a hard time understanding, comprehending the immensity of the universe. When you start getting to light years, I mean, it just starts blowing your mind away. Now, this picture, if you didn't know, this is not the universe. Okay, this is an image of our galaxy, the Milky Way. But it's hard to find a picture of the universe. All right, Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands." This is a great verse. And you look at, you know, in Psalm, so this is quite a few years ago that this was written. But already back then, you know, through the inspiration of God, we had an understanding, if we agree to look at it that way, at the immenseness of the heavens. And so that we're going to take a little bit of a look at that, because it is definitely telling of the entire glory of God. So like I said, I worked in the space business. This is kind of a depiction of all the debris in near-Earth orbit, but I'm really not going to talk about near-Earth orbit. We're going to kind of zoom out a little bit, okay? But space is big, and when I say big, I use all caps big. It is beyond big. All right, the next few slides I'm going to go through relatively quickly, but what I want you to get from this is try just to draw comparisons, okay? This is just looking at a comparison of sizes of planets, and we're going to move up into the stars, okay? And so this is not, don't look at distances. The distances from planet to planet is not right. We're just looking at the size of the planets, try to have a better understanding of what is out there in space and what God has created. And a lot of things we still don't know and we're discovering. Okay, so starting in our solar system, look at Mercury there on the left, okay? Then go up to Mars and then Venus, which is roughly the same size as our planet Earth. Okay, the next slide I'm going to go to, over the next few slides, what's going to happen is the last planet or star that's going to be on the right, on the next slide, we're going to move it, it's going to be to the left, it's going to be the smallest one, and we're going to continue to grow in size. Okay, make sense? Okay, so the next slide, okay, now the Earth is on your left, okay, that's the smallest, maybe hard to see, but it's not that one, it's that little one right there, okay, that's the Earth. Okay, we're going to go through the rest of our planets all the way up to Jupiter in our solar system. Jupiter is the largest planet in our solar system. On a good night, you can go outside if the conditions are right. You can actually see Jupiter with the naked eye. Relatively large planet. But in the grand scheme of things, Jupiter is very small. All right, so moving along. Now Jupiter is that small little ball there on the left. We're going to move up in size again. Jupiter, Wolf 359. Great name, by the way. Wolf 359, which is a star, okay? It's a little bigger than Jupiter. And then we really start growing in size here. Now, the rest of these are stars, because planets really don't get much larger than Jupiter, at least the ones that we know about. There's our sun there in the middle. We know kind of the size of our sun. It's a relatively large star, but in the grand scheme of things, it's really a small star. So now we go up to Sirius. That's a lot bigger than our sun. Now let's move along. Okay, now, see that little dot there on the left? Okay, that's Sirius. That was that huge one you saw on the previous slide. Okay, now this is probably going to start blowing your mind away here. Okay, then we move up through Pollux, Arcturus, Aldebaran is the big one there. I mean, it's just really starting to grow, and relatively, these are just monster stars. Okay, now we're going to go Aldebaran is that little small one, and once again, on the left, we're going to go up in size all the way up to star Betelgeuse. Wow, these are just getting bigger and bigger. If you try to represent the Earth on this slide, you probably couldn't make it small enough to show it an appropriate relative size. Okay, we're not done yet, believe it or not. Okay, Betelgeuse, it's a humongous star. Okay, now it's the small one on this slide. Rework all the way up to Canis Majoris, which is currently the largest known star to mankind. That is big. It's a good name, Canis Majoris, from the Latin big dog. Okay, it's the big dog, I guess appropriate name. All right, so hopefully that gives you a little better understanding, really, if we're on this Earth, okay, the Earth is really tiny in the grand scheme of things. But still, if you don't have a good understanding, let's look at our sun. We know a little bit about our sun, right? So if you're, the diameter of our sun is about 864,000 miles in diameter. Okay, that's still pretty big. Okay, what do you think the diameter of Canis Majoris is? 1.7 billion miles in diameter. Okay, like I told you, I'm going to throw out numbers you're really not going to be able to understand. Okay, what is 1.7 billion miles in diameter? What does that look like? All right, so I'm going to give you an example. If you take an airplane, and I'm not talking about your average airliner, I'm looking at a fighter jet that goes supersonic, and they go 900 miles an hour, it would take that airplane 1,100 years to fly all the way around the equator of Canis Majoris. That's how big that star is. Just blows me away. All right, if that wasn't enough to blow you away, let's take a look at this. Once again, I said this is our galaxy. Now, just so you know, if you didn't understand this, this is not a picture of the galaxy. This is an artist's interpretation of what they think our galaxy. Obviously, we have not had anybody or anything out that far that can look back at our galaxy, because it's just way too far out there, okay? The little yellow dot, if you can see that the arrow is pointing at, if you go out at night and look at the stars, that is basically what you're looking at. All the stars that you see are in that little yellow circle. So Canis Majoris, that we talked about, which is in part of the constellations that we can see out there, is in that yellow circle within our galaxy, okay? So you understand a little bit how big Canis Majoris is, and it's only in that little area of our entire galaxy. Okay, if that wasn't enough to blow your mind, 1995, take a little pause, give a little history lesson here. 1995, there was a gentleman who was pretty high up at NASA, and they kind of had a timeshare thing on the Hubble Space Telescope where so many people can have so much time to do whatever experiment they wanted to with the Hubble Space Telescope. Well, this gentleman had a certain amount of hours that he could use. Like I said, it was pretty high up. And one day he decided, 1995, there's this area in space where there is nothing. It's just black. I want to point the Hubble Space Telescope in that direction and just let it stare for 100 straight hours. And people around him were ridiculing him. You're wasting our money, you're wasting time, there is nothing out there. And he was pretty adamant, put his foot down, nope, this is my time on the telescope, this is what we're going to do. So he stared at this Hubble Space Telescope for 100 hours at this area in space. Well, if you took a soda straw, it's probably a very small area in the grand scheme of things, but for 100 hours, this is what he captured with the Hubble Space Telescope. A lot of dots. You're like, wow, that's a lot of stars. Well, when they investigated this a little further, these were not stars. In this picture, which is a lot of pictures stitched together, they captured over 3,000 galaxies similar to ours that I just showed you a depiction of in the previous slide. 3,000 galaxies. So they estimate that there are over 100 billion galaxies in our entire universe. Once again, I believe this is an underestimation of what's really out there. I think it's going to be a lot more than that. But this blew people away. I'm sure that that gentleman was doing a little tap dancing of excitement when this came back, and probably said, I told you so. All right, Isaiah 42:5. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. The second line there says, God who created the heavens and stretched them out. Once again, I think, obviously, God inspired the writers in here in Isaiah, I think, had an understanding that the universe has been stretched out. That God stretched out the universe. I think this is another trying to let us know how big the universe is in our own words. So I think the current scientific approach or belief is that the universe is still continually expanding. That ties right into this verse in Isaiah where it says, stretch them out. He's continuing to stretch those out. All right, finally, I'm going to wrap this up and talk about the pale blue dot. Some of you folks that have been around for a while, you maybe heard of this. This characterization was done by Carl Sagan, which was a prominent astronomer, astrophysicist. And I'll come back here in a little second to what exactly that pale blue dot might be. Once again, go back and give you a little history lesson. In 1977, NASA launched two satellites, Voyagers 1 and 2, out into space. And their initial purpose was to go fly around, investigate planets in our solar system. And when they were done with that, they were like, well, let's just launch it out outside of our solar system and see what's out there. Okay, so that's what it turned into. Right now, currently, Voyager 1 is the farthest man-made object ever that we put out there. Okay, and it's still flying away from Earth at this time. They estimate that it left our solar system in 2002. Once again, that's kind of a guess because they really don't know where our solar system ends and where interstellar space starts. But, okay, around 2002, they believe it left the solar system. It is currently traveling at 39,000 miles per hour. It travels 1 million miles per day. Right now it is current trajectory to reach the nearest star, but it's going to take it 40,000 years to get there. At that speed. Once again, these are astronomic numbers that are hard to comprehend. Obviously, Voyager 1 will not make it to the star. They estimate here in a couple years that Voyager 1, all its subsystems are going to be run out of juice, and that it's just going to die, basically in space. But if it were going to continue on its trajectory, it would take it 40,000 years to get there. All right, on Valentine's Day, 1990, NASA, before Voyager 1, they thought was going to be leaving our solar system at that time. They wanted to have a last look at Earth. So before it left our solar system, they decided to turn Voyager around and try to look at the Earth. At that point, it was 4 billion miles away from Earth. Okay, and Larry, if you can go ahead and dim the lights for me. This image is a little hard to see. But all right, you don't see much on this slide. Okay, you see a couple streaks. Those are sunbeams in space. Same thing we see here on Earth, sunbeams. It just so happened that they were fortunate enough when Voyager 1 snapped this picture, when it was looking back towards us, this is what it captured, and captured a pale blue dot that Carl Sagan termed. And that is the Earth. Do you see the Earth? It's that little pale blue dot. I'll give you an arrow right there. That's where we are. That is our planet, Earth, the pale blue dot. And so I mentioned at the beginning, talk about the characteristics of God and that He is a loving God. And this is kind of where I want to wrap things up this morning, is that you look at the beauty of the creation, our being, but now we're looking at the expanse of the universe. You can go ahead and turn the lights back on, Larry. Thank you. You know, look at this, what you would think insignificant speck in the universe, and that's us on that Earth. And you think, how in the world can God take an interest in man? So I'm going back to a couple of verses that were read before the lesson. Verses 3 and 4 in Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? That's a very valid question. We are so insignificant in the expanse of everything around us. Why has God taken such a liking for us? Because we are His creation. We are His special creation. He created us in His own image. He sent His Son on this earth for us. Because He wants us, even though we have a hard time understanding what eternity is, hopefully we have a better idea a little bit this morning, just the expanse and what that might be like. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. And He loved us so much that He sent us His Son. But what is man that you take thought of him? It's a humbling thing to think about. But it's also a beautiful thing to think about, that God cares about each and every one of us. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. Okay? Some of us have more than others. But some of us, he knows every hair on our head. And it is such a beautiful thing. So hopefully this morning I helped you kind of understand maybe some things that we take for granted, some things that we don't quite understand the vastness of these things. And I think humans sometimes, maybe intentionally, sometimes intentionally, try to put things in front of us that might be an underhanded way to try to distract from really the awesomeness of God. Like I said, that the image of our galaxy, okay, that is an interpretation, what we believe it looks like. But we really don't know. But they make it like, no, this is kind of fact. There are a lot of assumptions that humans make, and I think that's a little bit of our fallacy. But hopefully you have a better understanding what God has in store for us and His love for each one of us. And if that is a love that you're missing today and that you want to have in your life, that you want to put on Christ in baptism, there is absolutely no reason to wait. Either come down at the invitation this morning. If you don't want to do that, talk to somebody. Talk to the elders after. Call somebody. Don't wait. It is too important to put that off. Okay? So if you have a need this morning, why don't you please come forward while we stand and sing.